So in my mind, this has been one of the best Christmas weeks ever. The snow, just everything about it, had the feeling that this is Christmas. And then I went for a walk on St. Stephen's Day, the 26th of December, and there, out on the street, on the sidewalk, was a forlorn Christmas tree. Did it ever make me sad? There it was, lying there, all by itself. It was as if the tree was saying, "Well, I guess I've served my purpose. Now that there are no more presents, there's no longer any need for my presence." But the church would say to us, not so quickly, in taking down the Christmas tree. Although the 25th of December is a day of great celebration, the festivities of this season extend all the way up to the 6th of January. Christmas is a 12-day festival. It is a party that goes on day after day after day. As people of faith, we appreciate that we, with the shepherds, are compelled to go and worship Jesus. With Mary, we are to ponder what this season truly means and represents. I love this quote that I came across last week by St. Augustine, and it has sort of gripped me all week. Listen to what St. Augustine wrote in a Christmas homily. "Let us celebrate the festive day on which he, who is the great and eternal day, came from the great and endless day of eternity into our own short day of time." Jesus came from the endless day of eternity, says Augustine, into our own short day of time. And so, at the beginning of this new year, our readings from the Bible this morning invite us to think about, to celebrate, how is it that God engages with us who live in this short day of time? Well, let me summarize the whole of the biblical story in two sentences. God loves us so much that he made us in his image. When he redeemed us, he loved us so much that he made himself in our image. Do you get it? In creation, we are made in the image of God. In being redeemed, God is made in our image. At the very beginning of the biblical declaration is this understanding that we reflect God. God's purpose for us, it's made clear in Genesis chapter 1, is that we would know his blessing. Indeed, this is so important that Moses is instructed by the Lord to give to Aaron the priest and those who will be priests after him what is known as the Aaronic blessing, the blessing of Aaron the priest. We heard it from Numbers. And indeed, the blessing begins exactly where Genesis 1 begins. What did the blessing say? The Lord bless you and keep you. And what do we find in Genesis 1? As soon as the man and the woman are created in the image of God, the very next thing we're told is God blessed them. What is the blessing of God? The blessing of God is his favor, is his generous care, and it's his invitation for us to cooperate with him to be stewards of creation. But not only are we called to be stewards of creation, there is something that is uniquely human. We have the ability to create. Not in the way that God does. God can create ex nihilo out of nothing. Only God can do that. But we are what Tolkien called sub-creators. What Tolkien meant by that is the following. We take the very things of this created world, and from them we make that which is beautiful, good, and true. And as I was meditating on this aspect of our being made in the image of God, I thought particularly of music. Music is the art form most fully expressive of this festive season. Now think about music. Composers take the sharp and flat key signatures, both major and minor. Do you know how many notes there are in the scale? It's called a chromatic scale. There are 12 of them. And with these 12 notes and these different key signatures, composers, musicians create such a variety of styles of harmonic and melodic beauty. Now, you might have missed this. Did you hear how many notes there are in the scale? There are 12. Isn't that interesting? 12 notes. There are the 12 tribes of Israel. There are the 12 apostles. There are the 12 days of Christmas. And then get to Revelation chapter 21 and 22, and there are repeated 12s. In the eternal city, the place where God wants us to live forever, the place that is our destiny. Do you know what there are? There are 12 gates with 12 angels, and the walls of the New Jerusalem are adorned with 12 precious stones. And then in the middle of the city, there is a stream that has trees that produce 12 different kinds of fruit. Now, what about the number 7? It's a mystical number. It's a number of perfection, completeness, illustrated by the 7 days of creation, the 7 sacraments, the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that in music, there are 7 major keys on the flat side and on the sharp side? There are 7 minor keys on the sharp side and on the flat side. And if you were to look at a piano keyboard, in between each octave, you would notice this. There are 7 white keys. And then there are 5 black keys, paired in a 2 and in 3s. Now, this might be a little bit of my using my imagination, but allow me to use a little bit of poetic license. 2 black keys. Jesus made both God and man. 3 black keys, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. 7 white keys, speaking of perfection, speaking of the unity that God desires. Now you might say, Father, that's all well and good, but this is just coincidence. Maybe. Or is there something about the way music is ordered? The very material of music, the scale, the key signatures, the structure of the piano keyboard, that join together time and eternity. It's not an accident that music so touches our souls, because the very stuff of music is in a profound way joined to the very purposes of God. And as I said at the beginning of this homily, being made in God's image means that we are sub-creators. We can create. We can take the scale. We can take these wonderful key signatures. And someone like Handel, do you know how long it took him to write Messiah? 24 days. 24 days. He said, I heard the whole score, and I just had to write it out. Yes, we are made in the image of God. And that's the first and fundamental truth about what it means to be human. But because of human sin and human willfulness, this image has been marred. So we give thanks to God that in the reality of this distorted image, God was willing to take on our image. And this brings me to the second part of the Aaronic blessing. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Did you catch that? Make his face to shine upon you. When did that happen? In the incarnation. Is when the face of God came into this world to shine upon us. And St. Paul in today's reading from Galatians captures the face of Jesus beautifully when he says, but when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, here's the thing you need to appreciate about Galatians. St. Paul is saying, in the fullness of time, God's face comes to us, born of a woman, born under the law. And you need to appreciate something about Paul's argument in Galatians. to be under the law is to have the Old Testament without its fulfillment in Christ. And Paul says, if you do not see Jesus because you don't see who he is, then to read the Old Testament is like being a minor. Yes, you're part of the family, but you haven't yet come into the inheritance. It's almost if you're under a tutor, or if, like Michael and Jane Banks, you have Mary Poppins as your nanny. But when Jesus came, Mary Poppins was fired. She was no longer needed. Because the point Paul is making is this. In Christ, we are no longer children. In Christ, we are no longer minors. In Christ, we are brothers and sisters of one another. We are sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. And because of that, we can cry, Abba, Father. We know who God truly is. If in creation, the emphasis is on our being made in God's image, in redemption, the emphasis of Jesus being made in our image affirms that we truly are children of our Father God. This means that Jesus has brought us into a place where we can truly know who we are. As we look into the face of Jesus Christ, we recognize that we share a family line, that Jesus is our big brother. And when we know what it is to be created, to be redeemed, we can then come to hear the third part of this blessing. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, in English, the word countenance is most often a synonym for face. This is also true in Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament. But countenance in Hebrew can also mean mouth and can also mean presence. Mouth and presence. What does Jesus do after his resurrection, according to John? He breathed on his apostles and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He said in John's gospel, "I will send the Holy Spirit, the counselor, who will be with you always." And so here in the third part of this blessing given to Aaron, we have an understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. We are to be open to the Holy Spirit. This is what makes Our Lady who she is. She was, of course, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, but the reason why, in part, was Mary always desired the Holy Spirit. And this is what will happen in our lives as we are open to the Holy Spirit. We will learn to live each day pondering the wonder of the Incarnation. The Incarnation is the most beautiful truth because in this truth we affirm that Jesus came from the great and endless day of eternity into our own short day of time. As we begin 2017, who knows what this year will hold for us? A new president in the United States, elections all over Europe. In some ways, we could say that the political climate in 2017 is definitely going to change. Will it be for the better, for the worse? Depending on who you talk to, you will get different answers. But the reality is, we do not know fully what the geopolitical effects of this coming year will mean for each and every one of us. However, we can be a people who know the blessing of God. And in knowing the blessing of God, know that peace that the world cannot give us. And that's why it said in that last part of the blessing, may his countenance grant you peace. Beloved family of St. Peter's, Christmas becomes those 12 days when we know that the Father has blessed us by making us in his image. Christmas becomes that time when we celebrate the great festivity of favor that God has shown on us in the face of Jesus. Christmas becomes that season when we rejoice in knowing Jesus' presence is here by his Holy Spirit. That's why I was saddened when on December the 26th, I went on that walk and saw that tree lying forlorn on the sidewalk. Because as I said at the beginning, and this is true for so many people today, when there are no more Christmas presents, there is no more Christmas presents. Not for us. Not for us as Catholics. We take to heart the 12 days of Christmas because we are a people that celebrate the truth that God made his face to shine upon us. And it is this truth, it is this present that makes these 12 days and every day really matter. And so as we begin 2017, I, as a priest, say to you, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.